Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money, major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 0.0005% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? March has never changed anything.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And mess around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And in the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box going to get sent back to sender. And now you're going to have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So If you see, once you check me, I'm probably gonna check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad, Cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
High school volleyball game is underway outside Atlanta. The play is intense, but friendly. Then a moment of utter horror. A senior suddenly collapses. You can actually hear the thud as she hits the hardwood floor. She lies there, lifeless, as everyone runs to her side. The teen is in full cardiac arrest. One coach performs CPR, but it's not working. It's looking grim for 17-year-old Claire Crawford. Then somebody rushes in with a defibrillator. There it is. It's in the black box. Sure enough, you can see Claire's body jolt from the electric charge. Julie Sermons is the quick-thinking school administrator who used the defibrillator.
Life started to come back in her, and it was wonderful to see.
And this is Claire today. It's a miracle. Claire says she was feeling fine during the volleyball play. Just seconds before she passed out, the ball came her way and she gives it a good whack. But then something goes wrong. She's in distress and clutches her heart, then collapses.
Can you tell us what your symptoms were?
I had pain down my left arm and my heart felt like it was working really hard. But I just assumed I was out of shape.
Claire's mom, Lisa, was in the stands watching the volleyball game.
We were just desperately praying. It was 4.5 minutes. I mean, it was a long time to watch them doing compressions, and definitely we thought we'd lost her.
Here's a defibrillator similar to the one that saved Claire's life.
Analyzing heart rhythm.
So it tells you everything.
Yes.
Do not touch the patient.
Step by step, it will tell you exactly what to do. If it says stand clear, don't touch.
This is one teen who is truly lucky to be alive.
Claire, how are you feeling now?
Feel good. Better than before.
All right. I don't know why I played that one, but anyway. Today's podcast is titled, Will Eatonville become the second Rosa Parks? Will Eatonville, Florida become the second Rosa Parks? 619-768-2945. Now, hopefully, we will have a guest calling in on that one. For those who don't know, Eatonville, Florida is a historic black township, town built by, developed, conceived, and built and developed by former African-American slaves, about 45 minutes away from it right now. So I'm looking in our archives here to see if we have any information on Eatonville. So let's start with this, as we're Hopefully that guest will call in.
The town of Eatonville, Florida, serves as a monument to the end of slavery and the preservation of African-American history.
It's a place like no other. 6 miles outside of Orlando, Florida, lies a hidden jewel known as Eatonville, a place filled with a history of courage, progress, and the spirit of a people who were determined to make a better life for themselves while inspiring hope for the future.
Eatonville was founded by Joe Clark, who bought land from Josiah Eaton, who was willing to sell land to Joe Clark, a black man who had money to buy it.
22 acres of land was sold and donated to Joe Clark and others who took that land and decided to incorporate and build their own community. Historian Enwana Theory says finding a safe place to live after the Emancipation Proclamation of 1863 wasn't easy. Escaping the plague of racism was key as the creation of race colonies grew.
A significant number of thinking black people said, this is not going to work. If we can't live in security, then with whites, then we need to move on out and found communities where we can live.
On August 15, 1887, Eatonville became a reality, proudly called the town that freedom built.
What makes it so special is we're self-governed. When we talk about being the oldest black municipality.
The town was built on the principles of education, family, community, and religion. Core values that stand to this day.
St. Lawrence African Methodist Episcopal Church is a cornerstone in the community of Eatonville. This is the oldest church in the United States of America from a black perspective.
The church was founded in 1881, that's 6 years before the town of Eatonville, a location where founders met to discuss the future of their new town.
There's no ville like Eatonville, and that's true because we are unique in our own way. We feel that we set a precedent for other black communities.
You can see here that, for example, even the water pump in the back of this.
The theory believes it's important to preserve the past. She works with others to restore the town's most legendary buildings, like the Thomas House.
Its last incarnation was as a private home. It was at one time the church. It was at one time a library. It was at one time a gambling hall. This building has had at least 4 lives.
Eatonville native and author Zora Neale Hurston, best known for her book Their Eyes Were Watching God, brought attention to the town, along with a yearly arts festival held in her honor.
Zora Neale Hurston was a maverick who recognized the beauty of her people.
Whether it's the paintings that line St. Lawrence Church or the murals and paved roads along Kennedy Boulevard, it's all proof that Eatonville has come a long way, along with a legacy of hope. A legacy that will never be forgotten.
Eatonville, we're going to keep on keeping on.
It's a part of the American saga. It incorporates so much of what is quintessentially American.
The town of Eatonville is planning to celebrate their 125th anniversary in 2012. Reporting in Eatonville, Florida, I'm Chandrea Thomas.
All right, so that's a little bit about Eatonville. And Eatonville, Florida. And once again, the title of today's live stream is, Will Eatonville Become the Second Rosa Parks? Now, what I mean by the second Rosa Parks is, because Eatonville's a town, Rosa Parks was a person. But what I mean by the second Rosa Parks is, after Rosa Parks passed away, her home, her house, the house that she lived in, long story short, went up for a tax sale, and eventually somebody purchased that house, I think for, I don't know, $500. And I think it was an artist. I hate to bring up race or color with this, but Parsley was a black woman. And the house was in Detroit, Michigan. At that time, predominantly black city, African-American. And she had black living descendants. And, of course, in a black town, and we're talking about a metro area of Detroit that had Aretha Franklin living at the time, and many people that sang with Motown or worked with Motown at the time still living in Detroit, the Detroit metro area. And some of the wealthiest black entrepreneurs in the United States at the time were living in the Detroit metro area. And God knows how many churches like it. The Winans family, they have a church. Their church is in Detroit. I think it's on Greenmount. Green something. I forgot the name of that street because I used to live right near there, but not too far from there. So in any event, here is a black economic hub in the United States for blacks, and Rosa Parks' house didn't get snapped up by any of the black entrepreneurs or for $500. So this artist, who happened to be white, purchased the house, had it disassembled or deconstructed, and then had it shipped over to Berlin, Germany, and put on display, and I think eventually went on tour. It still might be on tour. So when I say the second Rosa Parks, that's what I mean, her house that she lived in. Which is still mind-boggling to me. So, Eatonville, Florida, and that's why I don't want to mess it up, because hopefully the guests will come in. But Eatonville, Florida, what's the word? Well, you know what? I don't want to mess it up. So hopefully the guests that told me about this can come in and break down the whole story because, you know, I don't want to mess it up. But something similar to this could happen to Eatonville, Florida. I hope it doesn't, but that's what happened to Rosa Parks' house. So hopefully the guests will come in. If not, I'll try to explain what I heard yesterday and see what you guys think about it. 425, your mic is open.
I think that's pretty shameful that Rosa Parks' house is on tour in Germany.
Right. It might be in Italy
you
now.
Know, well, just I'm saying the fact that our own people don't hold enough value to try to hold on or keep its history.
Right.
That bugs me.
I mean, you think about it. Rosa Parks,
yeah,
who got arrested. We all know the story. And in, like, say, the Detroit metro area, where... And I'm not saying Aretha Franklin, who was then living, who had probably a net worth of $80 million. I'm not saying that she should save the world. But, you know, the Detroit metro area, to this day, they do have their number. There's no shortage of black millionaires in that city, in that metro area. So, or prominent people like Coleman Young, who was mayor for 20 years. I mean, he's deceased now, but he was mayor for 20 years. Dave Bing, formerly of the Detroit Pistons, he became a millionaire in Detroit outside of basketball in the automotive business. Mel Farr, who was living at that time, was one of the wealthiest black men in the United States, selling used cars and things of that nature. So, bare minimum, there had to be at least 500 churches up in Detroit, some of them mega churches, but one of them was the Winans Church. So you had a lot of, the money was there for people to come up. You know, they could have saved that church if they just passed the hat for one penny. One penny.
Right.
They could have saved that house.
Right. And then the mentality is such so bad that people are like, well, I'm not even going to give a penny because what's a penny going to do? A penny ain't going to be too much. You know, it's like.
Yeah.
But, yes, a penny actually will do much because 1 penny to 99 cents makes you a dollar.
Right.
So, you know.
And here's
I'm
a woman that helped spark the civil rights movement where those people, through all kinds of professions, I mean black judges, black bailiffs, black elected officials, black entrepreneurs, the ability to buy a house in any neighborhood, they were all that, you know, you can link that to Rosa Parks. But when it came time to save her house, nobody black stepped forward.
And
Something's wrong with that picture.
But something is wrong with that picture, but then why is that? So was it publicly known that the house was put on the market? Because for one thing, I mean, it's like famous people. Do we look out to see if their properties are for sale? You know, other than star watching, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so
the house is in the house right now is in I believe Naples, Italy. At the Royal, it's on display on the inside the Royal Palace of Naples in Italy. That's where it's at right now.
Were black people, were we ever notified, informed that house was for sale?
Well,
it
was up for sale, and it was listed in the papers. It was listed in the Detroit Free Press.
Wow.
Now, you know what's interesting?
I have no word.
We know when Beyonce is going to drop her next recording. We know that.
Yep.
We know where to go get the latest incarnation or latest model of Air Jordans that cost $200 or $300 or whatever. We know that. But we didn't know about Rosa Parks' house. And the sad part, you know what? Now, think about it. To buy two pairs of Air Jordan, you know what? Hold it. I want to get accurate on this because I've never bought Air Jordans. So, Air Jordans, let's go to Amazon. I'm going to Amazon right now, okay? Amazon, and people, y'all can go along with me if you're online. We want to look at how much a pair of Air Jordans costs. And see, the title that I really wanted to name this podcast today, out of fear of me getting in trouble, I didn't name it. Air Jordans. All right, Air Jordans. And they got Air Jordans for men and women. Let's see. Air Jordans. Okay. Air Jordans, I'm looking at prices from $135. Here's a pair of Nike Air Jordans, $316.90. So for two pair of Air Jordans.
That's a car note.
Hey, but that's our priority. That's why I do not buy into the theory. I call it a theory. The theory of white supremacy. I don't buy into it. For 300, let me go through the prices on here. I'm on Amazon, people. $135.09. You can buy, you know, that model of Air Jordan. There's another one for $220 is what I just read, $316. There's another one from $299. They got them here all prices. Okay. Here's another one for $325. Here's another one for $308. Here's another one, Air Jordan 5s, retro, $368. So we're talking about, for two pair of Air Jordans, which you noted, Robin, is a car note. Or, it, you know what? It can be rent. Depending on what price house you bought, it can be a mortgage payment. But for some, and it ain't no shortage of Air Jordans in Detroit.
That's utterly ridiculous.
Went for $500.
I think that's a shame. Now watch this. People will actually go and buy those Jordans, right? Their lights will be shut off, or they'll won't have enough food.
But they look good walking
down the
street,
car
though.
Repair.
That's how they think, though. You're right.
You have people that have
killed people over Jordans.
I don't
want to
think
about it. Injured people over Jordans. And, you know, like I said, the working title I had for this podcast today, I had to change it. Because it probably would have been too brutal, but 368, 308, 209, 99, 329 for two pair of Air Jordans.
And then it's people that they can't even get one pair of shoes because they don't even have $10.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think somebody could have sold their Jordans and, you know, two people could have sold
somebody
their Air Jordans.
Somebody can take and buy 5-6 kids some shoes.
Mm-hmm. Let's see now, what's that
money.
What's it called, the Dr. Dre thing, what's that called, Beats?
Yeah.
Beats headphones. Let me look that up right now.
And they don't need no Beats and headphones. They need to pay attention to what's going on
okay,
around
well,
them.
Those are not too... Well, wait a minute.
Sorry.
All right. Apple AirPods Max costs $489.
Utterly ridiculous. No
Beat
way.
Beat Solo 3 is $136.
I'm not doing it.
The Beat Studio 3 wireless noise canceling $199.95.
I'm not doing it. I just have to take that static. I'm sorry.
But, we couldn't come up with the we just couldn't come up with the money for Rosa Parks' house, which is in Naples, Italy right now.
Yeah, there's a whole nothing something else going on with that. Like, for real. Okay, there was like a deliberate disconnect or separation.
Nobody who got a stimulus check broke off a little piece of that to help get that house back. Let me see.
So, I'm curious. I'm curious how many people use their stimulus checks for actual stimulus. Like as far as, did they put it in their business?
Well, we need to define
did they
stimulus.
Did they catch up on their bills, or were they in a position that they were actually able to splurge a little bit? Because this is a nice little bonus, an extra.
I don't. You know what? Wait a minute. Let me see.
Because I'll tell you, I missed a beat in the middle of the pandemic. I formed an LLC in the middle of the pandemic. Mm. I formed a company, established and launched a company. I launched, created and launched about 20
Robin?
Stations.
Robin,
yeah.
Robin, I got to do something. Hold on. I'm going to play this interlude. I'll be right back.
What's up, everybody? This is Jay, and this video is about, is Tariq worth $2 million? Now, we all know that he's a damn fool, and he deserves what he's getting, but is he worth $2 million? Before we do, let's hit that like button. I need to get 200 likes for this video, and if you haven't already, please subscribe and bang that bell. I'm trying to reach 20,000 subs by the end of the month. Let's get into it. Now, Tariq, we all know, is a damn fool. He doesn't listen to Ghost or Tasha, and he's been corrupted by Kanan and turned against his father by Kanan and Tasha. And now he thinks that he's a dope boy when all he is a dorm room dope boy. He doesn't know anything about real life situations. And so he tried to get over on Vincent and the Olive Garden dope boy crew, and he bought some baby aspirin and tried to pass it off as being some pills, ecstasy, or whatever the case. And no, that would not work. If anything, he would have been better off trying to cut it. But he's an idiot. He knows nothing about this. He thought because they look similar that Vincent wouldn't know anything. And yeah, maybe with the eye test he wouldn't know, but once they began to sell the merch, then people would complain saying that these were duds, that the strength was weak, it was nothing, and that ruined his business. Not necessarily put him out of business, but made him look bad, as if he was selling duds to people trying to take their money. And Tariq already got his face smashed in the ground like a puppy that pooped on the carpet in their living room. And so that wasn't enough for him to realize that these are not the people that he should be messing with. And he came back talking about he was a man of his word, and then he sold them a bag of bull crap, whereas he would have been better off telling them, hey, I don't have the weight, I wish I had it, whatever the case, but you know, I'm not able to do it, I'm out. But instead, he's trying to get money and sell stuff that's not it. And even Vincent pulled out a gun in front of his face and let him know, hey, don't mess with me. And even that wasn't a good enough warning for Tariq not to do it. He's such an idiot. And so now he's in big trouble, and they want $2 million or else they were going to kill him. And my cousin Vinny, he don't give a rat's ass or a witch's titty how Ghost and Tommy come up with the money. And Tariq, he's such an idiot. He doesn't know that now what he's done has allowed Vincent to put the squeeze like toothpaste on Ghost, Tommy, and Tasha to come up with money to save his life once again. He almost had that happen when he was with Kanan and they was going to kidnap him. And then he had Proctor killed and put Proctor's daughter in a situation where she has no parents. And he think because he took her to cousin Benny's house that he did good. He had his whole apartment where he lived ruined thanks to what he did working with Tommy. He doesn't have any idea on how to think first before he causes actions, because if he did, he wouldn't have went on ahead and tried to pull that move with my cousin Vinny. And now he's sitting there looking stupid, but about to end up biting the bullet because he ended up trying to play and get over the wrong dude. These aren't the dorm room kids that you've been serving. And now the only good thing is that Tommy and Ghost are working together. Maybe they may be able to reconcile, but everybody got to keep in mind, Ghost doesn't know Tommy is the one that killed Proctor and shot up his apartment. And Tariq is just sitting there looking stupid while all of this was going down, with his lips poked out like he got a trout mouth or something. And he doesn't realize the magnitude of trouble he's in. Now, we know that Vincent really only wanted to keep Tariq because he knew that he could have leverage on Ghost and Tommy. And I think
since every episode there's been somebody that died. I believe Vincent is going to die in episode 6. And so that'll be the end of my cousin Vinny. And if he does survive, he's definitely going down in episode 7. But Ghost, he's not going to forget this. He's not going to let this go, that this dude is extorting him. And now, in order to come up with $2 million, Ghost is almost broke by between paying Jason and all the different things that he's had to do and the QCP project and things. He's almost broke. Tommy doesn't manage his money right, and he got to pay for the re-up and things, but I'm sure he probably has more money than Ghost right now. And so now Ghost is forced back into the game that he's been trying to get out since the very first episode, thanks to Tariq. And Tasha, it's just going to be a mess because she's got these other dudes that she's working with. My cousin Vinny, he's going to be looking forward to, he thinks he has the upper hand, not realizing once they pay the money and then they get Tariq back, he's screwed. Dos and Tommy is going to get him for that. They might even get their money back. I don't know how they're going to make $2 million in 24 hours. Even if they get more weight, they're going to have to try to move all that weight in the same day. And that just because you have it doesn't mean all your connects and premieres want to buy that much right now. And so it's going to be one hell of an episode, episode 6, to see how this is going to happen. And even counting up $2 million takes a little bit of time in cash. That's going to take a few hours. Even with the counting machines, they're going to have a couple people just doing that. And so Ghost and Tommy, like he told them, we ain't boys, we ain't cool, but we...
Okay, that's a math problem I like to solve legally. How to raise legally $2 million, inspired by the TV show Power. Anyway, today's podcast is titled, Will Eatonville Become the Second Rosa Parks, 619-768-2945, and as... And this is what I'm talking about, the second Rosa Parks. Rosa Parks, when she passed away, the home that she, house that she lived in went up for auction in the city of Detroit, Michigan, which has a large, not only city population, but it has a large, large black city population, as well as metro area population. So you got well-to-do blacks that live up in that neck of the woods. So it's just a mystery, or maybe it isn't a mystery, on how her house was purchased for an extremely low amount of money to, I believe, an artist who had the house deconstructed, shipped over to Berlin, Germany, went on, display or for an exhibition over there, and it's in Naples, Italy right now. And I believe the guy's willing to sell a house back to somebody, anybody in the United States that's willing to buy it. And you know what? I would even throw this house really, in my opinion, deserves to be in the Smithsonian, and now part of the Smithsonian network, they have an African-American museum. Millions of dollars was raised to put that in motion. So I think this house will be an excellent fit to that exhibition. It should be on a permanent exhibition within the African, in my opinion, an African-American museum in Washington, D.C. However, the man ain't going to resell it for $500. And rightly so. So, and most African Americans probably didn't know that the house went up for sale. And for those who did, probably didn't care that it went up for sale. And t- take organizations like Black Lives Matter, which takes in millions of dollars in donations. They've got the resources to buy that house back. The NAACP, they've got the membership base to buy that house back. The SCLC, Southern Christian Leadership Conference, they've got the membership database to buy that house back. However, they're not making any moves to do that, at least not visible moves. So, let me see. Let me see if I can find a piece here. Rosa Parks House. Now my board's tripping. Okay, let me see. Rosa Parks House. See if I have something in the archives on that. And while we're seeing if I got something in my archives on that, we do have our Patreon page up. We're still doing a little, you know, tweaks on it. It's My House TV, and we only have two other membership tiers available. The basic, which is $1 per month. You know, that's a basic supporter of one, you know, for It's My House. And we take that money in it and help underwrite the cost of this podcast and then other things that we do, live streams and things of that nature. And then the $5 membership, which is more hands-on, and that tier is called the Cash Flow Conversations, where we basically brainstorm and then come up with ideas on how to reach our other two tiers. So you can go to It's My House TV on Patreon. And like I said, but only the first two tiers are open. Okay, Rosa Parks, I played that. Let me see. Let me play this one, then I'm going to go right back to the phones.
Nestled among Berlin's apartment blocks, the home of an American civil rights icon. This house was moved from Detroit, where Rosa Parks lived after her act of defiance helped end the segregation laws in America's South. It was 1955 when the seamstress, on her way home from work, refused to give up her seat for a white passenger. Little did she know it would make her a face of the civil rights movement. So when a Berlin-based artist discovered her home was to be demolished, he had it transported to Germany, piece by piece.
This house really belongs in the United States. It doesn't belong here. But because it is here, more people will have the opportunity to think about why it was that the house was put on the demolition list to begin with. So America lost this house, and America has to do something powerful in order to get it back.
Ryan Mendoza was given the house by the niece of Rosa Parks, who could not raise the money for its preservation. He paid $13,000 to have it transported and rebuilt.
She defied the odds, and she defied injustice.
Parks was honored and celebrated later in life, but decades earlier she had to flee to the house after receiving death threats in Alabama. Her refusal to give up her seat led to a long boycott of the bus system organized by Martin Luther King.
Each little nook and cranny, each part of the board, what you see is worn by weather, you know, to me shows her personality and what she went through as a beautiful woman, as a smart woman, as a courageous woman. This is who she was on the inside.
Given her place in history, Ryan Mendoza would like Rosa Parks' house to go on tour across Europe, but he hopes eventually it can be returned to its rightful place in the United States. Duncan Golestani, Al Jazeera.
Well, there you have it. It's in Italy right now. Well, Robin, what say you? Mr. Charlie got the house, so.
Yeah.
And Mr. Charlie willing to sell it back?
Well, okay.
And we got the Jordans. If we give up just a pair of our Jordans, we can buy it back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we don't buy Beyonce's next whatever, we can buy it back.
Yeah.
Or if we take our headphones, Beats, by, you know, Dr. Dre Beats headphones, and we put them on eBay for sale, we can get the money to buy it back.
Yeah.
Or if LeBron James wanted to, LeBron can single-handedly buy it back. The original title of this podcast was supposed to be What is Wrong with Us? That's what the original name was going to be. Oh,
yeah.
You know what? But then I tweaked it. What is wrong with some of us? Not all of us, but what is wrong with some of us? A cultural icon. And, you know, Denise, you got to figure Denise. So let's talk about social care. You got to figure Denise. First, like all we all do, first went to relatives for help. Because the house was on the let's look at the chain of events on the 6 degrees of separation. The house got on the demolition list in a black town, okay, with black government workers. So the person within the demolition department, they knew about it. But they didn't get together with other coworkers or their families. They could have bought it. And, you know, it never would have hit the list. You know, the newspapers. So then it was listed. All right, man, and before we – so Rosa Parks' niece, she probably went to relatives like most people do for help. And couldn't get any help there. Then she went to her circle of friends, couldn't get any help there. Then a lot of people, Pastor, can you help me? Can you help me save my aunt? Pastor, you know, you wouldn't have this church in the white side of town and living in a nice place due to yourself because of my aunt. Pastor, can you help me? No, but I can pray for it. Don't forget your tithes and offerings on the way out the door. See, we got to figure. I'm going to try to get her on the show. Well, you got to figure she exhausted her social capital in tapping all those places first. No luck. And then the guy who got it, the artist, he spent $13,000 to get it shipped across the water. I'm going to take for granted he probably spent that. Hopefully that might have included the deconstructed house. Listen, $13,000, that's what he said. But that was what they have shipping. So, you know, a mega church. You know what? He only had to be a mega church. How many churches on the 1st and the 15th of the month when they passed the hat, or passed the plate, rather, for tithes and offerings, had $13,000 $13,000 take during the 8 a.m. service? How many of them had a $13,000 take for the 10 a.m. service? Now, somebody, First Lady had a birthday somewhere. How many First Ladies probably got $1 million in whatever it is for, you know, total for the year? That's all the first ladies in Detroit. Just the total for the year. You know what? I'm not even going to go that high as a million dollars. I'm going to go as high, I think, a reasonable amount for all the first lady birthdays. First lady day is first lady's birthday. And you probably have at least 500 first ladies, black first ladies in Detroit, Michigan. I'm going to put the figure at, let's say, 100,000. I think that's a reasonable, maybe even a conservative number. How many pastors were given a Rolls Royce? That's about 200,000 right there. Well, yeah, 200,000 right there. How many pastors in the city of Detroit, or greater Metro Detroit, were given a Rolls Royce by their congregation? That number will increase when we drop down to a Mercedes-Benz or a BMW. But none of them could come up with the money to help out Rosa Parks' niece. So that's why the working title was "What Is Wrong with," in quotes, "some," not all, but some of us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I found out way after the fact, years later. Had I known, I would have tried to do something that, I mean, come on, $500? I would have did that myself. Now, granted, the house was on a demolition list, so it needed a lot of repairs. I take it for granted, but it could have been fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, it's on display in Naples, Italy. And you heard what the guy said. He would like to get the house where it rightfully belongs back in the United States. I don't know how much Black Lives Matter takes in revenue, but it's a hefty sum these days. Let me see, Black Lives Matter revenue. Hold on, Black Lives revenue. Okay, Black Lives Matter raised more than $90 million in 2020.
Ridiculous.
And as I stated before, the original or the second original title for this live stream today was "What Is Wrong with Some," not all, but some of us. So the Rosa Parks house example, is why I do not buy into the idea. I don't buy into the concept, or what I call the myth of white supremacy. I don't buy into PTSD for us based on slavery. Like somebody like Kunta Kinte, somebody that was caught or captured in the bottom of a slave ship, laying in your human filth, that and others, getting bed sores and all that. Those people had PTSD. But with us, talking on our electronics, I got a fan blowing on me right now. I can basically eat what I want to eat, that type thing. we have all these luxuries and comforts and conveniences. So, not to say now you can be in 2021 and have PTSD, but it's not, in my opinion, it's not slave-based PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somebody who might have been, water hosed, the dog sicked on you, all right, I get that. Those persons can have PTSD related to those incidents, okay? If you've been in the military, I get that. But not something, but whatever the people's slaves from 400 years ago, no, we don't have, in my opinion, just my opinion, we don't have that type of PTSD. That's my opinion. I'm not a psychiatrist or anything like that. But
trauma is trauma. Trauma is trauma, and that's what post-traumatic stress disorder is the result of.
Mm-hmm.
It is a traumatic event. So, yeah, okay.
Well. Anyway, but,
just saying.
Black Lives Matter, $90 million. Well, anyway, you know what? I'm going to see if I can get this guy on a podcast, the guy who bought the house. I'm going to see if you can get him on here, get his thoughts, and what's his asking price on that.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, that will be. All right, I don't know what happened to our Eatonville guest, but maybe they got caught up with something. Or they were going to report about Eatonville, because there's something that could happen in Eatonville that is sort of like shades of what happened with the Rosa Parks house. But anyway, I don't want to mess it up, so that's why I really had the guest do it. Anyway, 314, your mic is open.
Yeah. Guess who this is?
Well, hi.
This is Pianki.
Hi there.
And always make sure they get my name right. It's P-I-A-N-K-I. Man, I've been...
Give us the origin of that name.
That's my name. That's my birth name. It's Pianki Mancoli.
All right.
You didn't know that?
Very unique name.
I sent you that picture of the platinum Visa card with that big hunk of gold, and the credit card had my name on it. You didn't see it? You didn't look at that, did you?
No, not yet. I haven't opened up that email account yet.
And that was about 2 months ago.
I don't open
I
it
said,
up.
I said, if you respond to this in 72 hours, you can have this big hunk of gold.
Good Lord.
Now
I
you know what happened to that.
Day now.
No, but Negroes ain't going to do nothing but talk. I'm glad you said some.
Y'all sick? Yeah, you're right, because we're not all alike.
That's all these Negroes are going to do. And really, should be called something else. They out here wanting to take down General Lee's statue, a famous American soldier who fought in American wars. But they want white folks to say Rosa Parks' house. I don't understand it.
Me neither.
Suppose the white folks, why don't they ask the Confederate, the Daughters of the Confederacy to save it? It would have been something that they had bought it, wouldn't it? I would have paid them to buy it.
And you know what? It could have been done. They could have done that.
I would have. Wait a minute. I would have paid the Daughters of the Confederacy to buy that house and put it someplace. And then they would have said, yeah, you want to take down our general? Well, we're going to tear up your your beginning of the civil rights era. Some people say it was Emmett Till. We're going to tear down her house.
Mm.
So, no, they're not going to do anything. It's just like this thing with these Haitians that was down there on the border. You have to ask yourself, why didn't they go to Dominican Republic right next door? Just a little walk next door. Dominican Republic is advertised as being resortful, like, with pristine beaches, fine restaurants and hotels. And a very large contingent of your Major League Baseball players come from the Dominican Republic.
They do.
Guess who place they took in Major League Baseball? They took Black's place.
They sure did, to come and think about it.
And they are not Black. They are Dominicans. Don't call them Black. Just like they try to call Haitians. Haitians are not Black. They are Haitians. Their national language is French. So they, all 5,000 of them, land down there across from Del Rio, Texas. Robin, let me ask you a question.
Yeah?
Do 5,000 people more, how do they travel 2,000 miles there? And they supposed to be depressed and suffering from trauma and so forth. Who arranged for the food and water and transportation?
Right.
And Robin, who bought all those Joe Biden T-shirts they wear? They stop off at Dollar Store on the way here.
Oh, and the mask, too, for the that they're wearing. Right?
Yeah.
And why do they have to have masks on if they're for Black Lives Matter, if they're black people? Why would you have to wear a mask at all?
Then,
just saying.
This is why come Trump's wall was a damn good idea. See, here's the thing. I don't know if y'all ever been out the country.
Yeah, I've been out.
When you come back on your flight, international flight, you have to fill out what? What's that little blue and white piece of paper?
Declare what you're bringing back in.
Absolutely. It's a declaration. They want to know what you bringing in and where you been.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Why is that? Because they don't want you bringing in pests and organisms that will drastically affect U.S. agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
For what?
Mm-hmm.
They also want to know where you've been, because if you've been around foreign cattle, they want to know about it. And if they think it's severe enough, guess what they're going to do to you there at JFK International Airport?
I've been through there.
They're going to take your butt back in that room, and they're going to fumigate your ass.
Yep.
Even to the point of taking your clothes off and laundering them.
Yep.
And shampooing your hair.
Yep. And going through your luggage and treating your luggage if necessary, too, if they allow you to keep your luggage and not discard it.
That's right. They got dogs, and they use beagles, because beagles got some of the best noses on the planet.
Uh-huh.
And a beagle get worse than about your luggage, they're going to stop you and say, we need to examine. They're going to ask you questions.
Yep.
First, because here's the thing. If they find something in your luggage that you didn't declare on that slip, guess what? Now you got to pay a big-ass fine.
Mm.
If you declare it, it's okay. At least you're being truthful.
Right.
And it's not just against black folk. They do European. They stopped one man. He had two bananas in his damn luggage.
Mm-hmm.
They took that. Another one had some oranges. A Hispanic guy coming from South had oranges and some apples. They took them.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what they done to Pianchi one time? Yes, me. Coming from Ghana. I had some avocados. Why? Because Ghanaian avocados are big as grapefruits. They took my avocados. Going through France, I had some medicines from my Nigerian friends. It's a STD medicine that was made in Ghana by, at the time, Mr. Namo Nishi. He's dead now, from Hoi Hoi. I got to France. They took it. It's liquid you can't take. So Haitians coming across that border, you don't know what they got. And if I'm not mistaken, in the last earthquake, they had a cholera outbreak.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Sure did.
You don't want that in the United States. That's why Trump Wall was designed to make people come through entry points where they can be inspected and whatever they got interviewed and whatever they bring in with them can be inspected too. But now with the borders wide open, people can walk in here with anything. And you can have terrorists. When we hear the word terrorist, the first thing we visualize, somebody carrying AK-47. No. They can be carrying some seeds. They can be carrying some raspberries that has larvae on them. Those larvae would decimate a crop.
Mm-hmm.
Pianchi, could you hold on a minute? We're going to come back to that. Our guest has called in. The topic of today, the headline topic, we're going to come back to this soon. Will Eatonville become the second Rosa Parks? So let me open up the mic to our special guest, Viada. Now, Viada called me yesterday. We still had the live stream going on, but she called me on my cell. And she told me, gave me some information, and good thing the phone I was on cost $300 or more, because I would have thrown it. So, Viada, could you give us the information that you shared with me yesterday?
What was your topic again?
Will Eatonville become the second Rosa Parks? And the second Rosa Parks is not Rosa Parks the person, but after Rosa Parks died, her home got into disrepair, and it got on the demolition list in the city of Detroit, and then an artist from somewhere in Europe purchased a house, or actually was given a house. He dismantled the house, and he had it shipped over to Berlin, Germany, when the house went on display. It's currently on display in Naples, Italy. The guy would like to sell the house and have it moved back to the United States, but as of yet, no black organization or individual has come forth and said, I'm willing to buy the house and ship it back to the U.S. So the information that you gave me yesterday reminded me of the Rosa Parks house debacle. It's not at that stage yet based on information you told me yesterday, but it could be the mustard seed that could mean disaster for another place. So with that,
I don't know about the disaster. That I wouldn't use that word. Improvement, yes. Okay, so I met a man who was trying to actually buy the place where I'm staying right now, and we got to talking. He's been doing a lot of improvements in Eatonville. For those who don't know, Eatonville is the first black developed or black owned city in the United States. I think that's the status
it's
of
the
it.
Second.
Would you agree?
It's the oldest black. It's the oldest. It's the oldest functioning black township in the United States. It wasn't the first. The first was New Philadelphia in Illinois. But that's a ghost town now. But Eatonville is currently the oldest black functioning black township in the United States.
Okay, so this guy is a realtor, he's a contractor, he's doing, and he has, what, so far what he was sharing with me, like he bought
Oh, wait a minute, you said he's from where? Is he from Romania?
I think it was Hungary, but he lives here near where I live. He's been a resident here for some time, but he's originally from Hungary, I think. So he has a love for art. And what attracted his attention in Eatonville is they have this beautiful mural on the wall in Eatonville. When you first come in, I don't know if you remember seeing that, L.A., but there's a mural in Eatonville when you first come into that town that just gets your attention. It got his attention because he loves art. And so he began to inquire about Eatonville, look into Eatonville, and he decided he wanted to, his goal is to develop a jazz music center there, get some live jazz music going in Eatonville, the black township. Because what he described as people are very unorganized in the community, meaning us are very unorganized. So he's doing a lot of improvements. Now, I wouldn't say he's taking over anything. He's just buying property and improving it, which needs it. There was a laundromat, he said, there he was going to. In fact, he tried to improve the laundromat, but he found out it wasn't even paying the utilities in that place. So he ditched that idea, and I think he's going with some other project. But he did improve the salon that they had there. They had a salon there, and he went in with the help of another sister and remodeled it and refurbished it and redid everything, and now it's open again and prospering, doing well, black-owned.
Let me ask you this. Now, you saw the documentary Flag Wars. Isn't there some kind of parallel between what he, and I'm not knocking him as an individual. I'm looking at the community, okay? Because in the documentary Flag Wars, which you saw, it's when people, the indigenous people of a particular community, neglect their community,
yes.
Other people can come in to that community.
Right. And it's interesting that he noticed the mural, which was probably done by someone of Native American heritage. He noticed that, and he loved it. He saw value. Okay, he saw value in that mural, but he looked around the community and said, wait a minute, this value of this mural, this beauty in this art doesn't match the community, because the community's kind of falling apart in some areas. So he went in there with his mind and said, I'm going to improve this community because this art is valuable, and I want, what he's trying to do is develop beauty, develop art, develop music in this community. When he found out it was one of the first black developed communities, that made him even more interested, because what he probably is thinking, not just from a business point of view, that it's going to attract people who value the community and the essence of it, it's going to attract businesses that will also come in there and enhance the beauty of the community. So yeah, it's not really trying to take over. I don't see take over as much as just filling in where a lot of people are just not organized right now to do, and it's financially or otherwise, mentally otherwise.
Well, when you first shared this story with me, I'm looking at, and like I said, I'm not knocking him. It's interesting how this situation or flag wars or neighborhoods that get gentrified, what happened to Dr. Francis Quest Wells in Washington, D.C. a few years ago, is interesting how the local people don't value or see the community or cultural assets, but somebody from outside the community recognizes the value and the community of the cultural assets, and they come in and capitalize on it. So I'm,
you know,
why,
can I say something on that?
Why can't we see it?
Yeah, and he actually lives in that community. Eatonville is right next to another community, Winter Park. So he's in Winter Park. He lives in that community, so he's not really a far distant from it. He lives in that community.
Nor Herson came from Eatonville, too.
Bill,
right,
yeah,
he sure did.
Nora Zeal Hurston.
Zora Neale Hurston is her name.
Dora Zeal Hurston. Yeah, thank you for correcting me.
Z-O-R-A, this book. They have a festival every year. Yeah, she's big in that community.
And she spoke against the 1954 Brown versus Board decision. She thought it was terrible, which she had a right to do. She was putting more credence on that community and made reference that the schools in there was black schools. I think they had Williamson High School. I'm not sure if it was there. I could find out in a minute if I wanted to. But, yeah, she was she's from that community. And you know another thing, too? Mm-hmm. Bill Clinton is in a Clinton Foundation discussion on YouTube saying that Syrian refugees should be used to redevelop the city of Detroit. Now, Detroit's supposed to have over 600,000 black folks. So you mean to tell me out of that many blacks, not only could they not say Rosa Parks' house, but now they want to bring Syrians in to redevelop the city.
So yeah,
like
that's
I said,
sad.
Like I said before, all these people do is talk. Not all. They all they do is just talk.
Right.
Eatonville should have been redeveloped a long time ago.
That's right.
Not to
that's
get
right.
to the state that it's in now.
Right.
So the people
right.
don't care, L.A. They don't look at that as being a part of them. I keep telling folks, all blacks are not the same.
Well,
and they'll let you know, put some in your property and see how well they appreciate it. They just ain't the same.
Well, and part of it is what happened to black people. There's nothing wrong with black people today except what happened to them. For instance, this brother was doing a webinar or a talk on Cardi B. What's the other woman's name who just got in trouble with speaking out about the vaccine? Cardi B and Beyonce, Rihanna, and then the other one who's on the hot seat right now because she's talking about her cousin lost his testicles. You know, those women who are now very rich grew up without father images. They grew up with abusive fathers. They grew up, their childhood was reeking with abuse or a lack of guidance from the male head of the household. So what he was trying to say is that a lot of your adult, black adults right now, have been in a zip code, as he said, that had very few choices. Many of us were born into a zip code where there was a lot of poverty and there were hardly any choices. And my guest today, for instance, Dr. Baskin, was born in Haiti, where he went to a Jesuit school that taught him the best. He had the best education in Haiti. Then he went on to Belgium and learned about medicine and all that. And now today he's this international, well-known medical professional, holistic medical professional. So he's an exception, born into a zip code where he had lots of choices, and his parents took advantage of the Jesuit school and all that. So he got a good foundation. Now he's totally anti-medicine and all plant and all that. So depending on where you were born, that influences today. A lot of black folks are either alcoholics, drug addicts, meth, whatever, and they just don't care. Something like Eatonville. But you got other people, realtors, investors of whatever color, who see the value in a mural and work to bring the community up to the standards of the, just a damn art piece on the wall. I mean, How can you complain about that when at least somebody's paying attention and working to improve a community that deserves improving? And he's going to work with all the people. He said he don't want no white folks working on anything in that community. He's hiring all black people because he sees the conflict maybe of just him being white and in that community. But he's working with black people to bring it back up to par. He's not bringing in all white workers. And then he's asking me if I want to be a part of it. I'm like, yeah, let's bring in the jazz musicians and let's put some paint on the wall. Let's do this. I'm ready for this.
Well, heck, he's starting off discriminating right off the bat. I can imagine what that's going to sound like. But I,
well, it's just that the community, he doesn't want to offend the community just being there, you know?
Well, that ain't defending the community. When blacks go into other communities and work on construction projects, is that defending those white communities?
Say that again?
But I say when black workers go into other areas and build on projects in their community, is that offending them? But anyway.
I don't know. It's just, you know, people are sensitive about community involvement and exchanging information, all that. This one individual just seems to work a certain way to bring
about
change.
They say?
That's all I'm saying.
They say this project has been doing is being had with our money, so we have a right to work on it. But anyway, I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, so I don't think it's a Rosa Parks situation as much as it is a divine intervention by someone who's willing to do the work and put the money into it that's needed there. If he's interested in developing a jazz community, I'm like, whoa, let's do this. I'm going to go hand in hand with him and work this project because I would love – we don't have a lot of good live music in our community anymore, well, even in Orlando.
Viata, I want you to listen to this piece. It's just 2 minutes. Hold on.
Nestled among Berlin's apartments blocks, the home of an American civil rights icon. This house was moved from Detroit, where Rosa Parks lived after her act of defiance helped end the segregation laws in America's South. It was 1955 when the seamstress on her way home from work refused to give up her seat for a white passenger. Little did she know it would make her a face of the civil rights movement. So when a Berlin-based artist discovered her home was to be demolished, he had it transported to Germany, piece by piece.
This house really belongs in the United States. It doesn't belong here. But because it is here, more people will have the opportunity to think about why it was that the house was put on the demolition list to begin with. So America lost this house, and America has to do something powerful in order to get it back.
Ryan Mendoza was given the house by the niece of Rosa Parks, who could not raise the money for its preservation. He paid $13,000 to have it transported and rebuilt.
She defied the odds, and she defied injustice.
Parks was honored and celebrated later in life, but decades earlier she had to flee to the house after receiving death threats in Alabama. Her refusal to give up her seat led to a long boycott of the bus system organized by Martin Luther King.
Each little nook and cranny, each part of the board where you see is worn by weather, you know, to me shows her personality and what she went through as a beautiful woman, as a smart woman, as a courageous woman. This is who she was on the inside.
Given her place in history, Ryan Mendoza would like Rosa Parks' house to go on tour across Europe, but he hopes eventually it can be returned to its rightful place in the United States. Duncan Golestani, Al Jazeera.
Now, Viata, that house is in Naples, Italy right now. Now, the reason why I said, will Eatonville become the second Rosa Parks, meaning her house, is everything starts with one. You know, he was an artist that, you know, it was on a demolition list. Her daughter exhausted her social capital circles. None of her friends, none of her relatives in Detroit, pastor, bishop, none of those people. Aretha Franklin was living at the time, net worth $80 million. You know, you got some of the people from Motown still living in the greater. None of them came forward. So that's why I said, well, Eatonville become the second Rosa Parks, because it always starts with something simple and insignificant. The fact of the matter is, and I'm not knocking him, is that this man is a real estate agent. And they look at things differently than average Joe Blow. And a lot of us take it for granted, no harm, no foul. And then the next thing you know, the neighborhood's been gentrified. That's where I'm coming from.
You say, you know, that word gentrification, I was trying to think of it.
It's not gentrified yet.
Okay, the word gentrification can have a negative or positive connotation with it, because most communities where gentrification takes place, if you're the one that has to go because you ain't been maintaining the community, then you're going to look at it in a negative way. They came in, took over property, white folks living there now. They got expensive condominiums. That's what happened in Chicago. Chicago became, it was gentrified all over the place. They still gentrify in Chicago. Hyde Park, the neighborhood Hyde Park was taken over. That's where Muhammad Ali lived. That's where Elijah Muhammad has a house. They took over, the University of Chicago took over that neighborhood and modernized everything, turned it into expensive condos. Why? For their interest, number one. University of Chicago owns a lot of land now, especially, and they modernized a whole lot in Hyde Park neighborhood because they own the school, blah, 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 all the reasons that people gentrify. You could list the reasons why a big corporation, University of Chicago, would go in and modernize, improve the whole community. And then they're doing that in downtown Chicago as well. On the lake, they had these huge, cheap high-rise ghetto places, concrete reservations. They tore those down, built tires. So all over these big cities, okay, you got gentrification taken out. And who's being moved out? Mostly minorities. We moved out because they didn't bother to come together and do the gentrification, do the improvements as a group, as a collective, unified group of people. So I think this is a natural process, gentrification. When you got lazy people who don't see value in the community, who can't come together, who can't unify, who can't bring their money together, they're so busy buying big cars, big houses, and all other material, hair. Let's just take hair, for example. Women buying all this expensive hair. And why aren't they putting their money into the community? Because there's something psychologically off with us. We got to just say that. We didn't have
Robin. How much, like I hear on these YouTube videos, bundle, how much does a bundle cost?
A bundle of what?
Hair.
Hair? You talking about hair?
Yeah.
That's about, we're talking about thousands of dollars. They're spending thousands of dollars because they ain't going to keep that one bundle. They're going to have it redone another time, a month, two, or three. So that money just keeps flowing to the hair industry. They make billion-dollar industry probably, and we can't get a neighborhood put to get back together because we're so busy consume. We're taken over by advertisement has taken over the minds of our community especially, and we think we got to have everything that shows up on the television, on a billboard, and everything, instead of coming together in a community and improving, gentrifying it ourselves. We're too busy consume, buying all this shit that we don't really need.
Well, not only that, they're too busy wanting to take down the soldiers, statues of soldiers, rather than fix up Rosa Parks' house and Eatonville.
That too. Yeah, exactly. Value and where are the priorities? What, you know what? Public school did this too. You got to go to college. So everybody's doing busy studying, taking a test so they can get in a 4-year university to brainwash their asses into more consumerism and more communism and socialism. So our public schools are to blame, too, for this mindset that we have that we can't even improve our community. Because think of the entrepreneurship that could be developed if you just worked on community, keeping your community healthy and strong.
Good point. I'm looking at some Brazilian deep wave bundles, $269.63. So somebody can, and I don't know how many of those you got to buy. Like you said, if you buy four, that's over $1,000. Then you got to buy your Jordans, that's over $300. Anyway.
We've got to put the focus in the education of our minority children back on entrepreneurship, not 4-year college, not working for a corporation,
but they got to go back to colleges, Vanita, because that's where it works.
You're talking about
that's where the profession is going to be at.
that's your belief system that everybody doesn't buy into. But I respect your belief system, Priyanki, but not everybody has to go to college. No
some people can't. No, you're right. Some people ain't got enough intelligence or the steadfastness to take up rigorous college courses. You know what blacks are doing? Blacks are overrepresented in low-paying majors. That's why coming to college is not working out for them. Why is it that these – look at that Nigerian doctor that's have been appointed as a surgeon general in Florida. Look at his credentials. He was born in Nigeria, came here when he was 5. So if you go into college and you're taking up low-paying majors, well, you're absolutely right. But the question is, why come they can't qualify or prepare themselves for the tough stuff that pays a lot of money? If
well,
you don't get
guy,
it out of the blacks, you're going to get it out of somebody else. That's why they're bringing in Syrians. That's why they're bringing in Afghanistan.
Well, that guy here in Nigeria has some political ties, too. He's not stupid. He's been developing his political ties for a while. He didn't just pop up from Nigeria.
Well, his father is a neurobiologist. He's highly intelligent also.
Governor DeSantis is not stupid. He has a lot of people working for him that he can trust, number one. With the climate that this governor is in right now, he has to find people he can trust. So this Nigerian guy is obviously the guy who was in his position before could not be trusted. That was, I think, the problem.
DeSantis has
a strong belief system he's operating here, and a lot of people don't like it, but I do. And that guy who was in there before this one was not cooperating and was not in harmony, was not in agreement, so he had to find somebody. I think that was the main that's the main thing
too,
that he was looking for.
Look how they're lying against this Nigerian, saying that he said he's against vaccination. He never said that. He said he's against mandated vaccines.
Right. So everything has to be clarified with this. This guy has to be a spokesperson for DeSantis, who has certain principles and beliefs, namely giving parents the choice to do what the hell they want, not letting corporations dictate what they should do. So this guy is in there because he can be trusted. He knows what DeSantis expects. I don't even know about his credentials as much as I know he must be able to be trusted by DeSantis to be in that position.
Well, he's got some excellent credentials. He's a medical doctor coming out of Harvard.
Harvard. Well,
he's also coming out of UCLA Medical School.
Yeah, exactly. All of that is helping him be in that. But there's a divine appointment that happened with that guy being in the right place at the right time and having the right associations and all that. And it didn't have to happen with a college degree. If that guy had had experience in any other area that was needed at the time, he would have been in the position to work that position. But the climate that we're in right now, it's all about trust. Who can you trust? Who are you trusting? You trusting your doctor or you trusting your creator? You trusting the man who was in there before, lying and telling speaking against that and talking about we need vaccines, and DeSantis is like, no, we don't mandate anything. That, you know, there was a big war going on here for a while. So there had to be some peace come in, and this guy is the peacemaker and on a level. Same thing with, let's get back to the community we're talking about. They need. There's been a lot of turmoil even with the churches in that community. I remember L.A., remember, they got two big churches in that community. They
right.
ain't even had peace in the churches. The churches was having conflict.
In
so
Eatonville?
Eatonville. Two huge churches that in that community. And that community's not even that big. It baffles my mind that they got two huge churches that size. But that's how influential. And, okay, so let's look at why didn't the church, as big as those churches are, how come they didn't go in there and improve that community? What the hell is going on in
exactly.
the church?
Exactly. See,
that's
what I'm getting at. Why can't the locals get in there and improve?
Because the pastor needs a new car, and the pastor needs a new house, and the pastor and the church need fixing. They couldn't get a smaller church and work on fixing up the community. No, we got to make sure the pastor has a nice car, wears good suits, and we got our priorities so messed up in this community and in all communities of color that this is a start. If I'm involved in this project, I'm going to go 100% with the music, first of all. We need some live music, and that's going to bring in more black art, black musicians for sure, because this guy is connected. This, even though he's of a different European culture, he's connected to black musicians. That's how powerful this whole thing is to me, is that we're going to make a difference in this community with him building and rebuilding and remodeling. And I'm going to work really well. I'm going to try and work with him and getting the musicians in there and keep maintaining this whole community in a healthy, peaceful, holistic way. So I don't see nothing but good happening. I don't see Rosa Parks element at all. Why did that guy have to take that house all the way to Italy is what I'm wondering. How come he couldn't fix that house here in the United States? That just boggles my mind.
Well,
Rosa
obviously
Parks
he must be making a profit.
Country. Yeah, so everybody's got a motive for what they do, but this guy is right here in Eatonville, I like his thinking and his motive. He's trying to help the community rebuild, keep that mural beautified. Let's enhance the mural. Let's do whatever we need to beautify that art. Let's get more art in here. Let's do whatever we can to build up this community that has a beautiful history with Zora Neale Hurston being number one well-known art author and resident who started this whole project years ago. And it was deteriorating because black folks got to have a new car and new weeds and all that. This is insanity going all around.
Yes. Well,
join
in the conversation, people.
No, I think the answer is no. It's not Rosa Parks that you are.
All right, so Eatonville will not become the because, you know, it's just like you take the Rosa Parks thing. And well, you saw the documentary, what they call the Flag Wars, and there were five churches. You remember that the woman that died in that documentary, Regina Mitchell?
Yes.
Yeah. Now there were five churches, or there are to this day, five churches within walking distance of her front door, but in the documentary.
One
of them held her funeral service, but that was it.
Yeah, they couldn't partner. The community didn't know how to partner with the gay community that was moving in, the flag war thing. So that's why everything got turned over.
Viotta, you're right about that. But here's a novel idea. What about how about black folks trying to partner with each other within the community?
Well, that's the problem we have. That's the challenge we have. But if there's one guy from Hungary who wants to do something, I'm gonna partner with him. I ain't going.
Oh, wait,
to
no, I get that. I'm not knocking
stuff.
That. I'm not. I'm not knocking that at all. I'm just saying somebody with, what two or three years we used to start off January 1st in Eatonville. That's how we start off the It's Miles year.
See, I've
right
learned that in my life. Especially in the last 7 years, I've learned if you got some people who got lots of money, you better. It's a good thing to partner with them. And I'm not saying work with under them as a slave or an employee. I said partnership. Mm-hmm. Okay, you
right.
need my skills to do what you need to do with all this money. I'm going to help you, but I want to benefit too. All right, let's do this. If they're agreeable, let's work together. I ain't thinking about the color of nobody's skin these days. You're crazy if you're judging people by the color of their skin. There's a soul inside these bodies that was sent to these different locations and places to make a difference, a positive, conscious difference. You got to be able to recognize the soul, as Martin Luther King said, that they will be judged by the character, not by their skin color. That's where we are today. White folks are killing people with these vaccines. And if you don't recognize within your community who are the conscious white people, you're going to be falling off the cliff with everybody else because every white person ain't trying to kill you. Some white people are trying to help you and help and heal your body and enhance your life. So we got to recognize who the enemy is, the Faucis, the Gates, and all other white folks out there trying to kill us all over the planet. And then recognizing your community, who are the white folks we can work with and partner with and build our communities with and then profit from it. Yes, profit. We ain't got to own. We ain't got to hold the deed to the property to profit. You understand? We can help partner with people who got the deed and who got the money and still go traveling around the world spending $1,000. If you meet the right people, you're going to profit. If you got the right attitude, you're going to profit. And you don't have to own the land and the deed. That's how I see things. I'm doing pretty well. I've been blessed for the last year and a half to be in a be on this property. I don't own the deed. I don't own, but I've been having me a good time here, not even paying rent at this point of the game because I have the partnership I need, and these people need my skills. That's how we got to work these days. Partner with people who have money and land and tell, let's negotiate here. I got some skills you need. What do you, what, how can I help you and how can you help me? That's how it works for me right now.
Okay. Now, what's this thing you guys mentioned about Syrians in Detroit? What's the story on that?
Go to YouTube and type in Clinton Syrians Remodel Detroit. He's sitting there at a Clinton Foundation, a Clinton Foundation conference, and he's talking with a interviewer, and he's saying that Syrian refugees should be used to rebuild, to redevelop Detroit.
Man, that, you know, all right.
I've sent
Detroit,
you that before.
Okay, hold on. I'm doing. Detroit. I lived up there for about a year back in the mid '90s. All the gas stations, at least that I saw when I was there, gas stations, the convenience stores up there, they call them party stores. All of those were basically owned by Arabs. Yeah, Arabs. In black neighborhoods, gas stations, convenience stores, they had a lockdown on us, which I was kind of surprised with because the amount of blacks that live in Detroit. And you still had a good share of black entrepreneurs up there. But the typical visible black entrepreneur I saw in Detroit, they were women. And they were selling Mary Kay products. That's all pink cars all over the place.
That's a failure of our public school system, LA, all over this country. That you got a community like Detroit or a city like Detroit where you ain't got you don't have enough brown skin or minorities that can develop, improve, and enhance the communities because they've been brainwashed in the public school system. Like you got to have a college degree to get ahead. Or you got to do this to get ahead. How about just listening to them and ask, what do you want to do with your life? What skills do you have? Let's develop your skills. Forget about a college education. Let's develop your skills first, and then you decide if you want to go. We have a messed up public school system. Messed up, totally. That's why Detroit is, that's the situation there. They got to bring in Syrians to develop the community. Where's the brains of the people who live there? They're in the public school
system.
Well,
there's a bunch
brains
of videos here. Here's some of the headlines on the YouTube videos. From Damascus to Detroit, a young Syrian refugee shares her story. Syrian refugees living in Metro Detroit. Detroit neighborhood wants Syrian refugees. Syrians to Detroit seeking refuge in Michigan. Now, for anybody who hasn't been to Detroit, and I haven't been to Detroit in over a decade, but when I was there, I'm going to tell you the reason why I was there back during the mid-90s. And you can, there might be some glimpses of it now. There were some neighborhoods in Detroit where they were nice, tucked-away neighborhoods. But in the next block or two blocks away, it looked like a bomb hit that entire block. Vacant buildings, some dilapidated, falling in, some not. So I was in Detroit at that time. Because Detroit had a whole, I don't know if they still have, but they had a whole bunch of houses that you can buy on a super cheap house that you can buy for less than $5,000. Matter of fact, if you had a budget of $1,000, you can buy houses in Detroit. I wouldn't advise it for a beginning landlord, but that's another story.
You got a lot of blacks left the South to go to Detroit, Chicago, to go to Industrial Revolution, all that. You know, they went up there, what, to get an education, to go to college.
Right.
Did they go up there to develop communities and maintain? Evidently not, because there's been a lot of gentrification in the North.
Right.
They didn't go up there learning how to maintain communities, develop communities, be an entrepreneur. No, they went up there to get a college education and grow, get a school, go to school, and develop get their big cars and their big houses. And they forgot about the lessons learned in the South, where you maintain your house and your community, grow your own food. All that stuff is important now, because guess how they're going to control people in the North? Food. Take away the food. Let's see how well you do with your college degree and you're living in the urban areas and you ain't got a garden in your backyard, and they controlling your food, the grocery stores. Okay, let's see how well that works out.
Yeah, but people with money are always going to have those who don't go working for them. You guys need to get out that stuff with the not college degree. You know, at the National Society of Black Engineers convention they had in Detroit in 2019, where you had black STEM graduates. Lockheed Martin hired 400 right off the convention floor. Black
That's
STEM
wonderful.
Graduates.
I worked
the
in
year
I
before
in
that. Hang on for a second.
Let me tell you about Lockheed Martin.
Well, wait a
minute. Let Bianchi finish his statement and we'll get back
to you. The year before that, and that's not including the other thousands that was being hired by other corporations, from Exxon to Google, Amazon, Boeing, CIA, and FBI. But the year before that, in 17 and 18, Northrop Grumman hired 400 2 years in a row. So where else was they? I mean, those are damn good jobs. Hey, my grandson, who just graduated with a degree in gas and petroleum engineering, now he's doing his second major in business with an energy minor. Hey, you had Chevron, Shell, BP, ExxonMobil, damn near coming over to the house wanting to interview him. Now he's working with ExxonMobil. So we need more young blacks degreed. That's where the business is going to be. That's where the jobs is going to be.
Now, you mean STEM degrees, right, Bianchi? STEM degrees.
You got Mexicans
right.
up here at the Home Depot put a toilet in your house and get rid of the oil for $75. Right now, up here in Baton Rouge. The Home Depot there on Kersey Boulevard. So no, you need to get your children educated.
Okay, so there's a cost to be educated and work for corporations. Let me share my experience with Lockheed Martin, Marriott. I lived in their backyard. They got a plant in Orlando. I lived in their backyard. My neighbor retired from Lockheed, and I learned a lot from him because I was cleaning his house. I was in his house learning a lot. He was on the floor for a whole year trying to de-stress from that job. So there's a cost for working for those type of corporations. Our young people just need to be aware of the stress level you're going to be at. Lockheed Martin is a military operation, dropping bombs, killing, making bombs, dropping bombs. Their whole corporation is about bombs. The people who worked for Lockheed Martin, they lived in my neighborhood. One man had a heart attack 1 year. Another one, and my neighbor told me every day at Lockheed Martin, he worked in the tower of Lockheed Martin. There was an ambulance coming to that place every day for like 10 years. So there's a cost, yeah. Okay, you
well,
got
yeah,
all
there's corporate. A and there's a cost for not.
I'm not finished. Let me finish.
Oh, okay.
You got all these corporations want you to work for them, offering you these big salaries, boss. Oh wow, look, you can buy a house, you can buy a car, you can save money, all that. But there's a cost for that. There's a cost. You think you're going to be stress free in those high paying big corporate jobs? Pay attention, young people. Do you want to have all that stress in your life, or do you want to have a little less stress and a little less money? Because that's the cost you're going to pay. So
well, I think they're gonna choose the money, Vaida. And here's another thing: how many plumbers you need? Wait a minute, how many plumbers do you need? You mean to tell me you're gonna wear out a toilet every week?
I have a friend who opened his own plumbing business. He's doing amazingly well.
Yeah, but how many plumbers? You got 18 million black kids that's under the age of 18. So all of them gonna be plumbers?
You listen.
Well, everybody's got to take a dump. So,
you
toilets last forever.
You got to talk to your children, ask what do they want to do. No, not everybody wants to be a plumber. But ask them, as they develop, our job as parents and grandparents is to watch their behavior, watch their skills, watch their passion, watch what they like, and help them go into the fields they were designed to go into. Not everybody needs to go to college. Not everybody needs to be a plumber. Some of these kids want to be artists. They might be doing the murals in Eatonville and make some money. But we got to listen to them, not trying to.
Well, you know what the major art is today? The major art is today is 3D printing. That's
great.
The major art today.
Great. And you can do that without a college degree.
No, but you can't do the math and the other things that go with it. You got to have a college degree with it.
Corporations, like I think in Silicon Valley, they're organizing their own schools to educate employees.
Well, that's a printer school. Just the same thing that you have in construction, in the five mm-hmm. basic trades, commercial construction. And they don't let anybody in there. Because I know that's who works for me, was ironworkers.
Mm-hmm. Well, did the peanut man, the black man who invented the peanut, what's his name? Did he have a college degree?
I wasn't living then.
No, you talking about George Washington Carver. He didn't invent the peanut.
George Washington Carver. Did he have a college degree? He had all kind of skills and talents that he developed.
Yeah, but that was way back then in the turn of the century.
He was a scientist. He was a scientist, though. That's what it was. He learned how to use potatoes and peanuts and everything else, and people paid him to do that kind of work.
Yeah, but they ain't gonna do that. They're not going to do that today, Vanita. Believe me, that's not going to happen today.
You can develop children in a different way today, but they still can be developed when you're consciously watching who they are, what they're meant to do, and the
I agree. You should take your child, and you could take them through the process of assessment to see what their innate skills are. I went to a trade high school that had auto mechanics, aero mechanics, pre-engineer, nursing, bake shop, had sheet metal, welding, auto body, had all those things in there. But we had to be tested, basically we were tracked into that school. Those that didn't test outright, they were sent to liberal arts school, or track 3, which was just plain old high school. Everybody's not those capable,
now,
but
Bianchi,
you should be able to get
schools,
more.
Well, they called them back then, what, vocational schools?
A vocational high school, yes. It was
right.
Ocala.
Is that school still open? Because I know in D.C. they had 2, but then they closed down 1, and then they waited.
They had machine shop? No,
mm-hmm.
they don't have it. And the reason why is because those jobs, for instance, machine shop, computers run those machines nowadays. And you have to have a degree to understand how to program machine language, how to program those machines. You know, you like for your children to play chess. Black children are playing checkers and chess, and Asian children are playing Go. Heard of Go?
You know what? You are the first black person I've ever heard mention that game Go.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to learn how to play that.
So what's to stop a black kid from learning Go? What's his passion, his desire?
No, there is nothing to stop him. It's just, you know, first you've got to become aware of it.
Just because blacks are at the level of chess and checkers right now, that doesn't mean they might not surpass the Asian kids in Go. If we give them an opportunity and consciously raise these kids and consciously partner with people of different colors, races, and all, just be conscious about who am I dealing with right now? What does this child want to do? Where is this child? Let's teach him chess. Does he want to go beyond chess? All right, let me help you go beyond chess.
How many kids you got, Vanita?
Huh?
How many kids do you have?
My two grown sons are in their 30s and 40s, and my grandchildren are 5 and 7. My grandson at 5 years old already knows how the chess pieces move. We play chess with him as much as we can. That little boy learned how the chess pieces and how they move in like a month's time. So 5 years old, who's to say he would be playing Go when he's 7 years old? You Asians are doing nothing. We got to just watch them and give them opportunities and then ask them, okay, what do you want to do next? Let's do it. Conscious parenting. not pushing them. You got to have a college degree because I had one.
Well, you know, really, I'm glad that people are teaching. I'm glad people are teaching their kids not to have a college degree. You know why? Because there'd be less competition for mine.
Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever works for you and yours, do what's good
but
for
Alpha
you
Go,
and yours.
AlphaGo, they got a movie on it where the number one, that the person was the top person in the world was a Korean.
Mm-hmm.
And he was playing artificial intelligence, the machine that IBM built. Mm-hmm. And the artificial intelligence beat him. I mean, it was a major thing in Korea. And it just goes to show you how well they're coming along with artificial intelligence to be able to think like human beings.
Let me ask
and
you
what
this
it's
question,
do.
And anybody on
you
the panel here. Hold on, Vieta. Do you think, because, and this is open to anybody on the panel. Do you think, because you brought up artificial intelligence, do you think that robots will eventually replace the teacher, the human teacher in the classroom?
Yes. It will. They're doing it in Japan already. They'll do it here in the United States. That's why they need to have...
Not if we change the educational system and bring in a different system. If we keep the same system, it probably will go to artificial intelligence. That's the next level of stupidity and unconsciousness in our system.
Yeah, the question with what you said is who is the we? Because parents are the one who's ultimately responsible for their child's education.
Exactly, exactly.
And if they choose to go that route, that's what they want to do.
Well, if we keep the same system that we have had for about 50 to 60 years, that's probably the route it'll go. Unless parents wake up and take their kids out of this broken paradigm system and start doing things differently.
Yeah. And that's what they're going to want to do. You got some black groups talking about blacks need to know history, black history, and so on and so on and so on. Well, you got some parents, and they came up with these African-centered curriculum and tried to put them in public schools. Well, blacks rejected that. That's why come they don't exist in the day. So, no, it's up to the parent, the family, and the education direction that a child should go.
And
artificial intelligence will be used.
And just because Asians are excelling in certain areas, they also have a high suicide rate. So just keep that in mind. They're doing all these advanced technology, advanced systems, advanced this, that. But they're killing themselves in the meantime because their parents are pushing them into careers and activities that they may not be suited for. So guess what? I don't like myself. I'm just out of here. I'm suicide. Their suicide rate is ridiculous in Asia. So check that out.
Well, no matter how bad good they do in academics, Nigerians outperform them, and they ain't killing themselves.
Well, as far as we know, good thing. Good for them.
No, I know. Nigeria.
I know it. When you go to the hospital or something, you see a lot of Nigerian doctors and nurses.
Absolutely. Nigerian males make up 40% of your Ivy School population, your Yale and your Harvard's.
And we need we need more pharmaceutical pushing medical students, right? Yeah. Okay. Keep that system going. See how long it's going to last. That's what our problem is today. Big pharma training all these medical students to push their drugs. We got to kill that system. That's what this pandemic has taught us. Time to kill
that big pharma
system.
In Ghana, traditional medicine works right alongside with modern medicine. So that's not the case. It depends on where you are.
Well, if they put in a vaccine in Ghana, then something ain't working. If they get everybody's injecting themselves with pharmaceutical drugs, that ain't working.
That should be a choice.
That's right.
Like the doctor, he's against mandates. He's against the mandates, but he say people should be able to make the choice if they want to.
They should know
better their medical history. Then and they consult with their doctor and they make the choice. But when you got governments want a mandate, that's where the problem lies.
Absolutely. I agree. We agree. Congratulations. We agree.
Well, Viata, what do you got on cooking for Sunday?
Sunday is soul perfect healing. I have no idea at this point, but it'll be conscious raising, that's for sure.
And what about the people that don't want to do the Pfizer or Moderna or whatever jabs? Any alternatives?
Well, you need to listen to my broadcast from today. Dr. Ken Bastian said dandelion. He's all in the plants. He does not do drugs of any kind. He's an amazing educated doctor, psychologist. He says the number one advice, get dandelion tea, dandelion herbs, dandelion root, dandelion leaf in your system. Now, whether you have taken the jab or not, dandelion is going to help keep your liver healthy enough to manage the side effects and the consequences for whatever you're doing. Because whether you've taken the jab or not, there's a lot of viruses floating around because people who took the jab are shedding. So his advice
Absolutely.
Today, which I totally agree, dandelion in any form whatsoever. And here's the wisdom of it. Dandelion is growing all over this planet. It's a weed, and we missed it. We're missing it. Go out there and pick some dandelion, eat it, boil it, whatever you need to do. That's what's going to save you.
Yeah, they sweet the to eat it.
Yeah.
The yellow part is sweet. But, you know, you're right.
Well,
the ones that's...
The leaf or the root. The root and the leaf and the flower. All of it. Just eat it all.
The people that's been vaccinated are actually the ones that's dangerous to you.
That's what they say.
Because they are shedding off these spike proteins, which are variants that's going to cause your immune system to have to deal with it when they come in contact with
it. And the reality of it is everybody got different vaccines in the beginning. If you got injected back in December of last year, you didn't get the same shot that somebody got a month ago. They got more ingredients in these later shots so that people, and they even had placebos being given because guess what? Everybody's a guinea pig who took this shot. They were doing placebos back in December, January, maybe even February. So you weren't even getting any chemicals. You were getting saline solution because they monitoring everybody. And now if you're taking this jab, and especially the booster, you out of your mind. You out of your mind at this point. If you think that booster is going to save you, good luck on that. But
the first jab you took was for that particular variant. Well, viruses will mutate.
Yeah.
So that first jab you took is not going to help you with the mutation. So you got to go back and get a booster. Then another
booster.
No, you
booster. Don't. That's not true. That's not true. That's what they want you to think. But guess
well,
what?
Well, how you gonna? Well,
if you
took the first, if that virus that you got in your body mutate, your immune system is not going to fight it off because it's not a
yes,
normal
it will.
Mutation.
First of all, you start detoxing with bentonite clay and all the red clover. You start detoxing all those drugs out of your system. Then you start taking things like dandelion, fennel tea, pine, there's so many teas and herbs out there that can help your body get back to normal. But you got to have the mind that says that can happen. If you have the mind of in fear, oh, I'm going to die because there's another variant out there that's going to kill me, or I'm going to die because there's another virus. If you're in fear, yeah, you're out of here. You're going to be dead because that fear is a low frequency that will weaken your immune system no matter what you're doing with plants and all the other things. You got to have courage now and faith. And that faith is...
Well, what you're telling people that they should do, they should have been doing it in the beginning.
That's right. That's right.
Now, if they didn't do it in the beginning, now they got to go through these other things in order to... Because that person that's in the hospital that's on that respirator, their body was not doing all that. What they have contracted is trying to kill them. And when they give them shots, those shots is never going to come out of you. What's going to happen is that the virus that they had that the shot was for, that particular virus is going to mutate to something else. So the shot will not apply to it. That's why they're going to have to get another shot. Or even hurry up and start eating herbs and weeds and stuff. And I don't think they're going to do that. But good for them.
Your belief system is what's going to determine how long you're going to live on this planet anyway. But if you believe that what the CDC director just came out and said, she's approving and okaying a booster shot, even though the Pfizer committee said they don't. We don't need a booster shot unless you're over 65 and you got problems, blah blah blah. But the CDC director comes up. Well, yeah, everybody should get a booster shot if you're even if you're 12 years old. If you have a she coming out with a whole different narrative that is supporting a booster no matter what age you are. So if you're listening to that bitch, and I'm going to call her a bitch because that's what she is, if you're listening to her, she's going to put you in the grave. And that's their plan, is to get the population down to a reasonable number so they can have better control and all those other conspiracy theories. But, yeah, you depending on who you're listening to, who what your belief system says at this point, you're either going to thrive in this and overcome everything, including that shot if you want to, or you're going to be, we're going to go to your funeral. That's how the reality
and
is.
And then
today.
People don't want to realize, but it's true, everybody biologically is not the same. You got some people that think that is carved in stone. What works for you or what affects you may not affect the next person. It may not work for the next person. Everybody is biologically same. What's in your bone marrow, that's where your immune system really gets its instructions from. Your bone marrow is based on
your microbiome system has trillions of little critters in your gut and your large intestine. Your microbiome system has trillions of microbes communicating with your brain. There's a gut-brain connection that's running the whole show. Do your work on microbiome.
But
they're running the whole show. If your mind is clear, if your mind is healthy, you can control the whole system with your microbiome army.
Yeah, but
in
what
fact,
I'm saying is
you
that
can do anything.
Just like you have to, just like sometimes they give people bone marrow transport, it's in your bone marrow where your historical record for your immune system on how it has handled things ever since your biological genome came into existence, which may go back millions of years.
But if you destroy
anyway.
Your microbiome army, the bone marrow doesn't make any difference because there won't be any microbes to communicate to the bone marrow. It's all a communication system. Destroy your microbiome community. You can do that with antibiotics. I almost did that with myself. Wipe out your army of microbiome, and your body will go into what they call a cytokine storm, the storm they've been talking about, cysteine storm or whatever. And there's nothing to communicate to your bone marrow. There's nothing to communicate to your brain. So the number one thing you got to focus on is you're keeping your microbiome, your probiotics, your prebiotics, your fiber. All that has to be healthy for your brain to say, I need some buildup here in my immune system. Okay, we're going to send some microbes to your bone marrow. We're going to send microbes to your brain, your eyes, whatever you need. We're going to do it. Brain is the central command center. And then the microbes are the army that they direct to do whatever needs to be done if your brain is functioning. And I don't think a lot of people in the minority community have functioning brains right now.
Well, actually, those organisms in your body got their own independent brain. Hey, L.A., you want to listen to Bill Clinton? Here,
yes.
Just about 15, 20 seconds.
Truth is, the big loser in this over the long run is going to be Syria. This is an enormous opportunity for Americans. Detroit has 10,000 empty, structurally sound houses. 10,000. And a lot of jobs to be had repairing those houses. But Detroit just came out of bankruptcy, and the mayor's trying to do an innovative sort of urban homesteading program there. But it just gives you an example of what could be done. And I think any of us who've ever had any personal experience with either Syrian Americans or Syrian refugees think it's a pretty good deal.
There you go. Your first black president who blew a saxophone.
And that's the typical Democratic thinking. Now, who's been running Detroit? Democrats. And now they want to bring in foreigners to build the bad. Typical Democratic thinking. And I'm not saying Republicans wouldn't have a similar solution, but that's the way the politicians think. That's crazy.
But guess who was against
it? You done destroyed the city.
Who was against it?
Donald Trump. Donald Trump was against it.
Most of these cities that are going into gentrification have been run by Democrats. So you got to look at the parties that are leading.
Donald Trump was against it. Hillary Clinton was for it. And Barack Obama was for it.
Yep, we can see the mindset.
There are a lot of vacant houses up there.
10,000, that's crazy. What is the politicians been doing that 10,000 houses?
No, but it's not only Detroit. I mean, we can have the same story. Indianapolis, Baltimore. Baltimore's got more vacant houses than Detroit.
And who's been running Baltimore? That's another good example.
Oh, yeah,
Democrats.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
St. Louis has been ran by Democrats for the last 72 years.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That's the problem. We got these political systems running the
now, you know what's
and black folks vote them in.
And thank you, Bianca, for playing that clip. That was a very good clip. Because, in Evanston, Illinois, and not only Evanston, but it seems to be some type of reparations thing. So you got some black folks that are trying to go for reparations, and then you got other people promoting places. You know, Syrians go to anyway. There is a lot of opportunity in Detroit, but like I agree with you, Viola. We've got to get together. Well, you know what? There's not going to be no get together on a mass level. I can't see it. But if you get one or two people together or small groups of people, you can probably do something. But
you're going to have people who are conscious no matter the color of their skin, L.A. That's what's going to build back our country, our system, our better system. Conscious, woke people who don't give a fuck, excuse my French, about political parties. And the government and the lobby system. We got to get rid of this lobby system. That's what lobby system is run by the Planned Parenthood and pharmaceuticals, and that's why Texas is in a battle
for an abortion because of the damn lobbyists. But I think black Americans, I think black folks need to organize their own lobby groups and lobby the system like everybody else.
You're not going to get that.
LA, face some, will you? Face some.
Oh, excuse me.
Sorry, LA. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get that many black people unified like that. Don't focus on black people. Just people, humans, conscious people. Don't look at the faces. Put blindfolds on. Don't look at that. Because you got white folks who want to build up black communities right now, and they want us to partner with them.
Now, there's somebody, I'm not going to mention his name, there's somebody been lurking on in this conversation. Man, press 1, because I got to hear your 2 cents on this, if you want to chime in. Be prepared for Siri. I mean, no, not Siri. You may as well call Detroit New Syria, because you can go up there and buy houses on the cheap all day long. See, when he said 10,000 houses, I mean, he's talking about houses that you can buy for $1,000, $2,000. You can organize, if you organize $5,000 to $10,000, let's say $10,000, you can go on to, let me up it, $20,000, you can go in and buy some blocks in Detroit right now. Now, granted, those houses are going to need a lot of money to bring back up the code. So although you might be able to buy cheap, you're going to need some heavy money to restore that block. So let me throw that in there. Pionk, you were saying?
Well, you might do that too, but you're going to build a house and you're surrounded by wolves. Ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Very good point. Very good point, because Detroit's not a place for beginners.
No.
And you, as far as political parties go, here's the insanity of the Democrats. Instead of focusing on more important issues, they've been so, galvanized by this Texas abortion ban that the House Democrats are voting to legalize abortion nationwide. That's where their focus is. You know why? Because Planned Parenthood is putting money in those House Democrats' pockets. That's why they're doing it. They're putting all this emphasis on killing babies, ending pregnancies. Why? Because the money is in Planned Parenthood, and that's who they work for. They ain't working for us, the people. They're working for Planned Parenthood and Big Pharma. That's who's running this country right now. And the Democrats are lining up to fight for Planned Parenthood because Texas wanted to ban it after the heartbeat was sounding. This is insanity, people. We gotta wake up and realize it's not about race at all.
We got somebody who wants to chime in. And okay, 410. Yeah, all right, 410. Go ahead. Say your piece. 410.
They're afraid. They're scared. Come on out. Come on out. Don't be afraid.
All right. Well, they might be on
the Hilltip. I want to say hello to Viata. And Viata, you're having a hard time with those men, I'm telling you. But look.
No, I'm not having a hard time at all. I'm enjoying it. I love it.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the conversation. Look, let me say this. You know, we black folks are fools, all of us. And the reason
I
say that.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you're a damn fool, and I'm going to tell you why. You know what? We see all of these problems. We know the solution, but we can't get in a room somewhere in private and work out our problems. And look, I'm included. I'm a fool, too. But to think that one political party gives the advantage to blacks over the other, we're idiots. And the reason why I say that, you know, the first thing you hear some people say, hey, you know, these cities are run by Democrats. Well, damn it. Last time I checked, some of those states have Republican parties, have Republican governors. Like, for example, Michigan, that Snyder that had that city manager come in there and take over Detroit. I haven't seen a change yet. And the thing is, for a city to be majority black, about 80%, we're supposed to be running that joint. In fact, we're supposed to be running the whole country, but we get bogged down in this foolishness, conservative, liberal, Democrat, Republican. I'm with this religion or you with this religion, or I got a PhD and you ain't got no D. And the thing is, look, it doesn't take education. It takes common sense to get out of our problem, and it seems like common sense is lacking with common folk. But it's been a very interesting conversation. I've just been listening. And the thing is, the solution is right at our hands. Brother L.A. plays it every morning. Brother Claude Anderson gets up there and says, what we got to do, but we can't work together because we got all of these divisions. And until we get rid of these divisions, and look, it doesn't take a critical mass. It takes a few conscious people to get together and they herd or follow. That's the way it usually starts. It starts with the family or it starts with an individual to say, look, I'm tired of being sick and tired. And that the reason why we're in the situation today is because a few souls took the liberty to get up there and expose themselves to the world to make a difference. And until we do that, we can talk on these broadcasts all day long, and we're going to not get anywhere. And I got 2050 pegged as the extinction for black folks in the United States. It looks like we're well on our way. And I'll get off and let the other panelists say something.
Well, you know what? I kind of agree with what you said that time. I bet you can't say it again.
Well, you guys are agreeing with what Claude Anderson was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Claude Anderson gives us a solution. Honorable Elijah Muhammad gives us the solution. Malcolm X gives us the solution. The Black Panther Party has given us the solution. And here we are, wringing our hands and out here with these divisions. Everybody has given us the course that we need to follow, but we refuse to follow it because we got these associations. You know, I'm a Alpha Phi Sapa, or what the hell we are, my Alpha Kappa Alpha, all of these divisions. And look, we got the talent. This thing about Nigerians got more talent than we got, Asians got more talent than we got. Hell, we running major corporations now for other folk, but we can't put our money together to marshal our talents together to work out our problems. We don't have to be educated. All we have to do is hire educated folks to do what we want them to do to solve our problems. But then again,
well, we got all the talent pool. We got the money. We got the brand. We have all the raw materials.
That's right. We have the software and the hardware. And to think that, our kids are not being properly educated, well, what do? We go out and we build schools and we put our teachers in there to give them the education that we want. We don't have to depend on charter schools or vouchers, ever what have you. Hell, if we know that there's a certain thing that needs to be taught to our children, put the money to it. That's what money's for. Money's not for a new car or to have a use as a status symbol. It's used to go ahead on and make sure you finance your survival. Survival of the fittest, and what is it? Self-preservation. And until we get to that point, look out. All of us are going to be on that.
Amen.
Amen.
I got to go. Thank you, brothers. It's been a pleasure. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Thank
you
for calling in, Viata. All right. Well, BZ, any other statements you want to bring in here? Because we're 12:55 now.
Well, I'm working on a project, Brother L.A. If I can get through with the text when I get it laid out, I'm going to send you a picture of it. I said I was going to do a thing, and it's taking me this time to almost get to the end of it, and I want you to see how a town is being developed.
Okay. Now, are you near Raleigh, North Carolina, Beasley?
Yeah, Raleigh's 2.5 hours from me.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I got a contact in that neck of the woods.
Well, you got my
any,
number.
Robin, any announcements? Hey, Robin's still here.
Got the usual program.
And over the weekend, we've got Gospel Music Explosion on Sunday, and then right after church, we've got Vibes Live Jazz and Blues to end the weekend.
You got Hilltop tonight?
Tune in. I was going to do a Vibes Live exclusive tonight, but I'm taking a well-deserved night off. I work all the time. I'm taking off tonight. Okay.
Yeah, because you get up, and you're on the West Coast, so you keep up with the East Coast people.
4 a.m. for me when I begin my day, and I generally do 3 broadcasts every day.
As well as other stuff.
As well as other stuff.
Right. All right, well, people, thank you all for tuning in, participating. We're going to end this one for today. Everyone have a good day and rest of the weekend.